win.
The House and Senate of sorts. I think we left off, and there was some discussion as we broke. I'm going to take the liberty of calling on Senator Torres Ray, just as to where you're going. Or I know you were talking to Representative Lilly, but I'm always hesitant to put a House member on the spot at the start of a meeting. Oh. So,
Mr. Chairman,
Representative
thank
Lilly?
You.
Mr. Chair, we did have an opportunity. The Senator Torres Ray did, and staff got together and came up with something. And then we, Chair Wagenius and myself, and others worked with it. She just got the copy, so I feel bad forcing her to say if it's good or bad or other. And the same for Mr. Knopf. So maybe she's ready to go, but I would think she might need a few minutes to kind of say whether it's fine.
Senator Ray.
Mr. Chairman, I work on a draft that I sent to the House about 2 hours ago. Apparently that was not accepted, and they created a new proposal that I was just handed. So I have to read this because it is different. It is significantly
okay.
Different.
All right. Well, can we hold off for a couple minutes, a few minutes then? And I'll let, it's okay, Representative Lilly, let Senator Torres Ray and then our staff, Mr. Knopf, work on this. All right. So, was there anything, Representative Wagenius, you've been the hero on Parks and Trails from earlier. Is there anything else you wanted to suggest, or they were going to work on language to maybe wrap up a lot of it. Is there anything else you want to suggest on Article 3?
I was hoping that Senator Anderson would be here to talk about Waters' plan.
Okay.
I think she has something in mind that would be interesting for us to talk about.
And she had mentioned that to me, and have we heard from Senator Anderson, Senator Fredrickson? Okay. The House was very prompt, and
Senator Anderson.
You know, usually when that phone rings, it's the wrong number, but
do they need me? I'm not going to request the university to collaborate in a project. I am requesting the university to do it.
Sorry.
And I agree to this. I never agreed to get the university.
No, no, you didn't.
Okay, I'm sorry. So we hope Sir Anderson will be here shortly. Senator Torres Ray, you look like you want to say something.
No, Mr. Chair, I'm just trying to figure out the language that is being proposed is something that we are going to have to work on for some time. So I don't know what are the wishes of this committee in terms of, you know, sending us to work on a committee, or how would you like us to proceed?
Well, you can.
There is substantive language and changes. The House is proposing that we request the University of Minnesota to collaborate, not to do the project, but to collaborate on developing a project. And so it's the Senate proposed that the university actually puts together a framework. And so to ask the university to collaborate, the language that the House is proposing in Subdivision 1 says the University of Minnesota is requested to collaborate on a project to develop a long-range 25-year framework. So it's different from what the Senate requested of the university, but maybe.
I think it's just a matter of having some opportunity to spend some time reading it. That's just having you work with the other folks to get that brief framework done, and then they totally take over and do the whole thing out. So I actually think the House has moved substantially toward the Senate position. So it's the, in fact, it to me looks more like the Senate position than the House position, but you just have to read it all because the collaboration, if you'll remember, it's the groups, the parks groups get together in a collaborative situation with DNR staffing it to do, in the short term, a rough framework. And then after they have done that, the U develops it out, gets the website done, and does all the other work I think that you had the U doing, and in fact doing more than you had originally envisioned, because this language has, if you look at the extended framework on lines 219 on, it's... it actually incorporates everything that you had plus some of what the House had.
Mr. Chair, absolutely. Representative Wiginius, I don't know. I just need to read it. So all I'm saying, you know, I'm not saying that it doesn't. I'm just reading the first few, you know, lines, and I think that we're going to need time. The problem is that I gave members the copy that I gave Representative Lilly about 2 hours ago. So Senator Anderson is asking me what is the problem, and this is not, she's not reviewing now the same language that I gave her 2 hours ago. Same thing, Mr. Chair, with you. I gave you the language that I was given 2 hours ago, but this is different language now.
You know, Representative Paymar and I are on the same wavelength all the time. Can't the two of you do any better than that? Or
I think it actually is the same wavelength. We just haven't given her a chance to read it.
Okay, so. Well, if we can have Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair, I think, you know, and I tried to apologize in the beginning, but maybe that just wasn't clear enough. But I think when the senator is given a chance to take a look at it, and the staff, I think we'll be closer than we realize. And it's, I think it really enhances what she was trying to achieve. And then others on your side were interested, and we also incorporated that, which I'm kind of proud of let's see if I can find it. The Explore Minnesota Tourism was important to Senator Chaudhry, and mentioned that, and then some of the on some of the internet stuff was also mentioned over there, and we enhanced some of the language in that as well. So I think, you know, we tried to listen to the concerns, and I just want to apologize because it's all.
And I'm sorry.
They're just getting this.
Do we have copies that we can look at? Do you have?
Yes. I don't know if we have enough for everybody. I don't know how to manage that. Do we have copying staff? I think we're really closer. But, again, I apologize because it's just, it's new to us, too. But
they never talk to anybody.
And Chair Wiginius really understands it better than myself as well.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Ray,
when we left committee this afternoon, we met outside of this room with Representative Lilly and University and DNR. Our agreement was that we were just going to put the two together, whatever was the language that you read that is in the bill right now, just put it together without money, just put it together and nothing else. This is not it. So what I gave you earlier was what I instructed our staff to do after we met, which is just put the two versions together into one. It's the same language. Do not change it. And give it to us without changes. They gave that to us 2 hours ago.
Mr. Chair,
this is different.
Passing out copies on that side. I think this side needs copies to look at. Please.
Well,
everybody, yep.
Yeah. Did you have a few copies?
I have two left.
Could you bring some over to the Senate?
I thought. Yeah. Did Angie leave to make copies?
Yeah, she's making some more copies. Okay. But if there's a couple of copies. Thank you. Did you mean to? Oh, this goes with it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Anderson?
Well, Mr. Chair, I apologize. I walked in a few minutes late, so.
No, we had just started.
I don't want to start. You just started? Okay,
yeah.
So we have some new language here presented by the House, and.
Yeah.
Did you go through it and explain how what it does differently?
Briefly, but maybe Representative Lilly, you can. Would you mind taking a stab at that again?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to defer to
Representative Wagenius.
That's okay.
When we looked at the two put together, it appeared that we could have two 25-year plans that might conflict, and so, in order to try to have one 25-year plan that everybody agreed on. We put the initial process with the U involved in the initial process as it was listening to the interest groups and listening to the citizens. And once they had a rough outline of 25 years, then the U was to do everything that the Senate envisioned plus a lot of what the House had envisioned. So it actually, and I can just go through if you look on the when you look at the extended framework development and inventory, there are 8 pieces, and a couple of them were the House, and the rest were the Senate's.
Is it a
Chair, I was asked to come and vote on it.
Is it a close vote?
Yes.
What is? Boy, this is tough. With this bouncing back and forth, I'll take the chance and just stay here. I'm sorry, Representative Gaines and Representative Lilly.
Would you want me to just kind of go over it line by line? Would that be helpful?
I'd like to do it when Senator Anderson's here.
Okay, then. That's also just easier, I think, for people to read it and see that all the language, I think, that the Senate had plus much of the language of the House is there.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to something else. Senator Saxhog, you had talked to me earlier this evening about some ideas you had.
Well, Mr. Chair, as we talked about earlier, the Habitat, at least the first article, has an awful lot there that's very close, including the numbers for the recommendations. I think we could probably go over and at least nod our heads that indeed they are very close.
Well, what do you want to suggest? Do you want to try to adopt some of this, or what are you suggesting?
Well, certainly in those areas where we're the same, I think that would be a great idea.
Okay. Why don't you... are you looking at Article 1 or are you starting at page R1? Is that where you are, Senator Saxhog?
I am.
Okay. Why don't you take us through what you'd like to suggest?
Well, as we look at R1... There's well, they aren't exactly identical, but they're. Mr. Kunoff?
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Sackstock, you're looking on page R1.
Yep.
Yeah, that I think the boilerplate language on the top. We just say that the appropriations article are one time. I think that's just a clarification on the Senate side that they are one time only. We do have some money in the second year, so it's important that be included.
So that change then brings us down to 2.2, where in the recommendations it calls for two appropriations, and this it spells it out as $16,000 in fiscal year 2011.
$16 million.
Yeah, I know. Jeez. Well, I used million for billion too, so I got.
Well, Senator Sackstock, let's go back to the top of the page. If our language, Mr. Kunoff, you said our language is basically the same.
Mr. Chairman, yes, except for on line 1.24 on the Senate side, we have the additional language on the one-time appropriations.
Well, Senator Sackstock, would you like to have any objection to the Senate language with specifying the one time?
Mr. McCormick, I would like.
Madam Chair, this is really technical. We have later provisions in Article 5 which state that every appropriation in the House bill is one time. So it doesn't really matter where you state it. You can state it as many times as you'd like. The only way we would like, the only reason we should change this is if we ever decide we want something to go into a base.
Okay. So for our purposes for this article, should we simply adopt the Senate language and then obviously we can do that article by article or when we get to Article 5? If we're doing the same thing.
Mr. Chairman, I'd recommend doing it this way because I think it's important for the reader to know early on that there are one-time appropriations. And what we did is, at least in the environment and natural resource parts of this, in each article, we did this in the beginning language, said that they were one-time to make it very clear up front.
All right, let's give that a try. Senator Sackstock moves adoption of lines Senate position lines 115 to 124. Senator Sackstock?
That'd be great.
Okay. Senator Sackstock makes that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Good work. Senator Sackstock, keep it up.
On section 2, then, Mr. Chair, as we discussed yesterday, the total appropriations are the same for 2010, but for 2011, as we discussed, the project to the conservation easement in the northern or the upper Mississippi conservation easement calls for $20 million in the first appropriation and $16 million in the second. So that's the difference between the House and the Senate. And if there's concurrence that indeed is the strategy we want to use for obtaining a conservation easement, then I would move approval.
Mr. Chair, we're not ready to move approval of the appropriation at this time.
Okay, let's.
We haven't even gone through the appropriations of any of the articles yet, not even to review them. So
tonight. That's fine. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and Senator Sackstock, I would agree with Representative Murphy to the extent that, you know, if you're talking about a significant difference like that in subdivision one, we want to reconcile. Where will we end up relative to that? So, you know, I'm hoping you can outdo Representative Wagenius from earlier today and kind of, I don't know if you want to.
2.8 through 228.
Senator Chaudhry, do you?
Yeah. I was going to, moving on from that discussion, there is the end of R1 beginning on 2.8 and R2 the House side through 2.28. I can move the House language.
Senator
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we over here on the House appreciated the efforts we were taking earlier today to address some of the language items before we began to talk about the appropriations. I think that was helpful. Like you just mentioned, Representative Wiginius helped us get the ball rolling with the some of the framework and the accountability on the parks and trails, and I think that she and Representative Anderson, sorry, Senator Anderson, excuse me, did some work on plan for the water, clean water section, which we haven't had a chance to get to yet because obviously we have other responsibilities going on around here. But I think I'm personally not comfortable moving on to any of the appropriations until we get some of those things out of the way. And maybe that's something we can talk about now that Senator Anderson's back.
Yeah, and obviously we moved on to Senator Saxog in the absence of Senator Anderson. We can revert back, although I do want to point out, I think where Senator Chaudhry was going was Subdivision 2 Prairies has exactly the same appropriation. So unless there's something I'm not seen or reading correctly.
And Mr. Chair, there's slightly different language, and I was moving the House's position on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but with Senator Anderson back in the room, we can revert back to the discussion that we're going to have about Representative McGinnis. You made reference to some of the clean water sections.
I believe Senator Anderson.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, the only thing we've had a chance to discuss, it was one narrow piece, but given our schedules this afternoon, but that's the 25-year waters framework. And we do have similar language in the Senate and House, we have some language that would reconcile the Senate and House language.
Okay. So and do you have that ready for distribution?
Yeah, I think Mr. Knopf has copies of it. It's I believe it's the...
Mr. Chair, should I withdraw my motion?
I'm sorry. Thank you, Senator Chaudhry.
You can do all the money at once.
I'll withdraw my motion.
You don't do it piecemeal. Even if it's some... That's way to back it. It's the deal.
It's okay. This is good.
Okay, so what page, if we got to distribute, what page?
Water, Mr. Chair, it's in the water section, Article 4, page R43 and 44. No, R44. Yeah, we have it in R44.
And you're looking at line 3612, subdivision 5?
Yes.
Okay. So what do we have in front of us with the 0016 language?
Well, Mr. Chair,
what article are you looking?
This is combining some of the ideas that we had in the Senate, and the House just had a straight appropriation, basically, a rider. And so we had some discussion about this and just... Looking, where's the House has some language. Where's the House language? Right above it. Yes, I'm sorry. No?
It might be in Article 5.
Yeah, where's the House language? If you could help us find that. Chair, that makes sense. So we can...
There's a Wiginius, do you...
R114, is that right?
It's 9016.
9016, Section 20 of Article 5.
What page, Mr. Chair?
Well, it's either 113 in our book, I think.
Does have them both. Sorry, not prepared. So, Mr. Chair, I guess the Senate language was shorter, but we talked about simply. I need to go back. We should let Representative Wiginius talk while I'm looking.
Okay, Representative Wiginius.
Know that I have much to say. I think.
Ripped off of the House. Seems to me anyway.
Senator Anderson has added a number of involving a number of other folks on the lines in her amendment on 1.15. 1.16, 1.17, 1.18, ending in 1.19, and I think that is, since this is to be, again, like the Parks and Trails, the collaborative, I think that it was a move on the Senate.
Okay, so...
they're supposed to be on that.
On the language, Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, I was just looking at the paragraph B, and the Pollution Control Agency is not listed in there, and I think they should be.
Should have been.
Mr. Chair, that's definitely an oversight. I know we mentioned them at one point in some notes, and so we must have dropped that off. So if you look, that should be on line 1.15.
And so how?
Departments of Natural Resources, Pollution Control Agency, and Agriculture.
Madam, or Mr. Chair and Senator Anderson, I think it would fit better on line 1.16 after Environmental Quality Board, insert Pollution Control Agency, comma. The Pollution Control
Agency,
comma.
Not a department.
Right.
Okay, Representative Davids.
Chairman, should it be including the Clean Water Council?
I think they're in here.
Line 130.
Yeah, and Mr. Chair, we did, in this amendment, we attempted to, the Senate and the House had slightly different approaches, but for the same idea, and so we tried to incorporate the different ideas. We wanted to specify working with the agencies and the Environmental Quality Board and the other organizations. The House... Remember what was different about the House? They talked about what sustainability means, and as part of their definition, that's in here.
Yeah, she said it.
I think there was one other.
There was one again, yes.
One other change that comes to mind that Senator Anderson put in here and changed the date. And said instead of January 1, January 15th, that's on line 1.34. And then I think Senator Anderson, I think we missed putting in the outdoor and cultural, did we?
Mr. Chair, Representative Guineas, I think you're looking for a reference to the finance division of the House, the culture and ultra heritage. That was not in the House bill.
Okay. I thought we had intended.
I think, Mr. Chair, what I was told is that Yeah, for some reason we have to just do that as an oral amendment. It didn't make it into the amendment. So if you could see, we have the...
Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, if you want to include that, it was not in the House language, but if you want to include that, we could on line 1.33 after finance, insert comma, cultural and outdoor heritage finance division, in a comma, and then on page 2, line 3, insert after environment and cultural and outdoor.
I think that would be appreciated.
And Mr. Chair, we should say...
Resources.
On the second page, we need to include the ranking minority members of the committees. That was included on the first page, but not on the second page, so that should be added, I think, on 2.3.
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Anderson, this is submitted to the committees, not to the chairs.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chair, the committee is the Cultural and Outdoor Resources Finance Division.
Mr. Chair, one other. I think the House had asked for a 10-year plan and a 25-year framework, which is more consistent with what they had done throughout their bill, and so we did incorporate that. So okay. We just kind of merged the ideas.
All right. Do you wish to offer the language?
Yes.
Okay, Senator Anderson moves the 0016 language.
With the changes incorporated.
With her incorporated changes. Further discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, I don't see, I was going to go back to maybe Senator Torres Ray. I don't see her in the room. Senator Saxhog? Senator Saxhog,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
Yeah, I had a suggestion. There was some language earlier when we were adopting the, we were working on the Parks and Trails framework. We adopted that language back on line 73 and 74 and 75. Immediately before that, there was a, we had some language on a legislative guide. And I was wondering if it was worth taking a look at that while we it kind of fits in with a lot of the things that we've been doing here so far. And I was wondering if it was worth taking a look at that before Senator Torres Ray comes back. It's on page, I guess for you, R96, section 3 of Article 5, House line 7231.
And Representative Morgan, what are you suggesting?
Well, Mr. Chair, one of the things that we worked hard on in the House was to gather input from the stakeholders and come up with some principles for investment or investment goals, I think we call them, and we adopted them as a committee. And that is one of the things that this legislative guide we are proposing here would accomplish. If you look down at line 73.5, committee, the Culture and Outdoor Resources Division of the House, and the appropriate committee in the Senate, as designated by the majority leader, would get together and develop a legislative guide about the legacy amendment funding. And one of the things we would do is develop this list of principles that would help guide future expenditures for the funds. In addition, it would focus on desired outcomes. And it would kind of be a general roadmap, if you will, for all four of the funds moving forward. And I think that was some of the intent behind that. And I think others who were involved in that language might want to add something to that.
And so your suggestion is, or?
My suggestion?
Let's talk about
it. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody want to talk about it?
Mr. Senator Anderson. Chair, well, do you also have something that requires the committees to adopt a 25-year plan or a framework and a 10-year plan in addition to this or not?
In for the other funds?
Yeah, for all the various funds.
Yes, for the arts we do.
Madam Chair.
Ms. McGordon.
Culture.
I think what Senator Anderson is talking about is the language of the Senate side, Article 5, requiring committees to adopt a 25-year framework. And it's on, I think it's R114, or it's a Senate, page 62, line 6 of the Senate. And this requires a development, not adoption, but development of a 25-year strategic plan. So in some ways, you could have lined this up with our legislative guide for comparison.
Well, Mr. Chair, that is what I was getting at. Is there, but I'm not sure if the House has other language that would line up with this that requires the funds that are overseen by legislative committees to do anything. This is the only piece that requires the committees to adopt some planning.
Representative Wagenius.
Is one of the things you're trying to get at, Senator Anderson, is the coordination between the funds? I think we have observed some overlap where I think we many times have observed where there can be overlap in the funds, where arts could teach us about water, for example, or those kinds of things. Is that what you're trying to get at here?
Not really,
not
Mr.
Really?
Chair.
Okay.
I mean, we had, in our section, our 25-year strategic plan on R114, we just wanted to make sure that for each fund there was a long-range plan set forth. And in the case of the Heritage Council, the council would do the plan. In the case of the water or parks, the legislative committees would do that plan with support from the University of Minnesota. That was sort of how our bill was structured. You know, the University of Minnesota would do the initial research and drafting of a plan, but then we, you know, with participation of a lot of other groups, and then ultimately we would adopt some kind of a plan based on that. Just to have a plan in place for each fund, just to give direction and guidance about where we're going in the future and let the public know what those plans look like. So I'm not sure if that is comparable to what you're proposing here or not.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Anderson, I think that's very similar to what we're trying to do here. Obviously, in year one, you don't want to decide what you're going to do in year 25. That would be foolish. But I think the sense is to have some sense of the legislators in the House and in the Senate who will be working on this moving into the future to provide some guideposts, to provide some general outcomes that can move across the funds that are related to what members who sit on these committees have heard from the public about this is why we voted yes. This is what we want to see. This is our expectation. And put that into writing to provide future legislators with some kind of a guidepost as we move along. Obviously, it would be in law, not in the Constitution. It could be modified and changed as needs change as we move forward. We felt it would be a useful tool.
Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chair, just to point out one other section that involves legislative action this summer. If you look on page R112 on the House side, House lines 88.29, paragraph A establishes a joint committee of the House and the Senate with jurisdictions over the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. They'll be developing public meetings and making recommendations for a one-year plan, establishing criteria and parameters for awarding grants and resources. So if you add up the three sections, we have a provision on the House on R96 to create a legislative guide with five-year plans in each of the areas. We have a position on the House on R-112 requiring a joint committee of the House and Senate to do arts planning for a one-year plan. And finally, we have a position on the Senate side creating a 25-year frameworks. And, I just wanted you to point all them out so you can see what the legislature will be doing with their summer.
I'll be practicing law, but that's okay. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just while we're discussing this,
right.
If you look at the House side, maybe some House members, correct me if I'm wrong here.
R-114.
I don't see the University of Minnesota really in anything. I see. And just a question, why the Senate puts the university in the middle of so much of this? On page 112, plan on the University of Minnesota. I'm not sure that the House has such a
I think. Can I just follow up, Representative Davids, on your comment? Well, not exactly, but thanks. You mean in terms of some of the governance, or generally, you try to use the existing.
Well, Mr. Chairman, on the governance, on creating the framework, for example, and then you look through there several places to bring the University of Minnesota in. The House really didn't do that. The House says, let's use as much as we can what we already have and not create new bureaucracies and bring a lot of folks in.
Well, you mean in terms of the kind of the. You know what wouldn't be a bad idea, and I'm sorry, Representative Davids, to interrupt you. Representative Murphy, you put together these guidelines. I think that was kind of one of the guidelines, wasn't it? Do you think we could get copies of that? And just because you're making reference to it. And
to our goals?
Goals or whatever.
Mr. Chen. We have the goals.
And just because.
Mr. Chairman, the question basically is that I'm questioning why.
Okay, Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davids, in a couple of these instances, the legislature has had experience with those sections of the University of Minnesota and found that they did very good work and delivered a very good product to us. For example, the Center for Changing Landscapes has done quite a bit of work for the state in helping to design trails that were a good end result, and we also know they're very professional in the planning. So I think that's probably why we included them. And I can tell you also that the, I think, Water Resource Center?
Yes.
The University of Minnesota Water Resource Center, Dr. Swackhammer, has done a lot of work with the LCCMR on water issues. So when we had those good resources at our university, we just decided to use them. No more.
Let's just get specific. I want to come to the parks and trails. We are in parks and trails. But yet, we're looking at the University of Minnesota.
Senator Sagsaug.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative David, I think that we found a couple of instances when we were going through there that it was felt that because the Department of Natural Resources and many times is in control of the lands that are going to be granted money, that there might be some conflict of interest which would be better handled because of that would be better handled by the University of Minnesota.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative Davids.
No, Mr. Chair?
Senator Sagsaug.
The trails aren't, no, the University of Minnesota doesn't maintain trails. They do map trails. They know where the trails are.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah, I will.
Has there been some problem with the DNR and the parks and trails that we feel like they bring somebody from the outside? Because I don't think, and correct me if I'm wrong, on the House side here,
reviewed?
Senator Frederickson.
Chairman, Representative Davis, I think they serve two different functions. The Department of Natural Resources, I would agree, does a good job of building trails, putting them in place, and if we appropriate enough money, maintaining them. But the University of Minnesota landscape does also an excellent job of looking at the total landscape, looking where trails would fit well, look where they would connect unique features or unique parts of communities, and giving perhaps the Department of Natural Resources good suggestions and alternatives as to how to lay the trails out. And that's what they do. They don't make the decisions of where trails would go, but they would present excellent maps and plans with alternatives that the decision makers, maybe at the Department of Natural Resources, maybe at a community, maybe a group, multiple group of counties, would look at and say, well, yes, we like this option because it connects these unique features, and it looks like we'd be able to attain right-of-way to put those trails in place.
Representative Davids.
Under statutes.
I would say that plan might include where it would look like there would be the best chance of getting a right-of-way to put the trails in place. It would be up to whoever the university is planning to do the implementation and to pursue which alternatives they might want to follow.
Senator Saxhog.
Mr. Chair, yesterday we went through the side-by-sides, and those were good. But, you know, when we were discussing Article 1, since every paragraph seems to include an appropriation, would it be possible to go through the spreadsheet?
We could certainly give that a try. You mean in terms of
looking at
same
what the how the different appropriations.
Sure. Why don't we do?
Compare?
We've been concentrating on the separate articles. Why don't we turn to the spreadsheet and
in the middle of the plan.
Pardon? I'm sorry.
In
I thought
the middle of the discussion of the plan.
No. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Representative Morgan. I apologize.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I misunderstood.
I was just going to, Mr. Chair.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wagenius and I were looking at the Senate language on page. Well, it's section 3, line 62.6, probably your page R114, I would imagine. It's your 25-year strategic plan that Senator Anderson was referencing. And our thought is that it seems to work pretty well with the legislative guide that we were talking about, which is a shorter-term, 5-year plan. Which would be due by December of this year. And then this 25-year plan would be due by January 15th, 2011. So those two sets of plan language might work pretty well together. We were looking through the language, the Senate language, though, and one thing we noticed was the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund was not included, and I think we would like to come up with some language that would put that in there as well. And I think Representative Wagenius had a comment, probably nothing more than a technical change. On line 63.2, it says sound science, and I think you would suggest current science. But if we can find a way to get the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund in there with some language supporting that, we may be able to adopt those two pieces of language, one from the House and one from the Senate, as well. It's
okay. Could you make reference again to the two sections?
Sure. The Senate language, Mr. Chair, that I'm referring to is Senate page 62, line 6, 62.6, and I believe in the side-by-side it's R114. It's R115 for the House packet. And then the House language I was referring to, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm totally confused.
Which language? Mr. Chair, the Senate language I'm referring to. It says Section 3, 25-year strategic plan, and it's line 62.6.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I was on the wrong. All right. Okay. Fine.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Okay.
And then the House language I'm referring to was the language I was referring to earlier under Legislative Guide 72.31 on what is probably your R96.
Okay. And so what are you suggesting then? Again?
117?
Well,
some combination of that?
Yes. I think some combination of those. And I don't know that we need to do as much effort as Representative Lilly and Senator Torres Ray did earlier to kind of blend them. I think they work pretty well together as written, because one is a short term with a shorter term deadline, and one is more long term with a longer term deadline. And my one concern about the Senate language is it includes language for the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the Clean Water Fund, and the Parks and Trails Fund, but it looks like we're leaving the arts out and cultural okay. heritage, and
so
I wouldn't want to do that.
Good. So you would like to, if we look at the Senate language,
yes.
You would like to, so would you like to work from the Senate language then?
Mr. Chair, I guess I would, so we can find okay. some way to get arts and cultural heritage into the Senate language that is useful.
All right. Is Mr. Jensen?
Is there six?
Well, certainly on one of those lines, it would be easy to insert whatever the fund is, arts and cultural fund, somewhere there.
Well, yeah, Mr. Chairman, and if you want to include that in there, you can on line 62.11, you could put in the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund after the second comma, and then the comma after that, of course. The only issue by putting that in here, I think I didn't know if the House wanted to do. They have a provision that Mr. McCormick talked about earlier, kind of a separate planning process for the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, and I didn't know if. I mean, the reason that's not in here on the Senate side is because this came through the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Division, and we didn't have that fund, so there was no reason to put it here. I know the House has another plan for a strategic plan for that, so I didn't know if they wanted to do it here instead of where they were planning on doing it or not.
Well, it would seem to me, as Representative Morgan suggests, that maybe using the Senate language is the cleanest language, because you got everything in one area, and then you want a few words. You got the plan must include applicable outcomes for restoring, protecting, and enhancing wetlands. That probably doesn't affect the Arts and Cultural Fund. And so you'd want something, not a plan for restoring, but maybe streams, groundwater, parks and trails. And enhancement and access to arts and cultural activities or something?
Well, Mr. Chair, this is really just the constitutional language, so I would just advise you to put the constitutional arts and cultural heritage
and arts
words
education
in there.
And
whatever
arts
we have
access.
In the Constitution, yeah. I would just put
so,
in there.
So do we have that, Mr. Knopf?
Yeah, you, Mr. Chairman, you can just include that. I think you'd want to include it probably after groundwater, comma, on 62.19. You could include, find the language here, the arts access. Yep.
Arts
education and arts access.
Right.
What about cultural and historic
heritage. And preserving Minnesota's history and cultural heritage.
Okay. What, Rosa Morgan, why don't you state, including, just to make sure we have it down, why don't you go back to line whatever it is, 6211, or Mr. Knopf, do you want to state that, or Rosa Morgan, would you like to and listen?
Let me take a run at it, and then Mr. Okay. Knopf can double-check me if that works for you, Mr. Yep. Chair. On line 6211, after the fund, comma, insert the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Mr. Chairman, isn't that just called the Cultural Heritage Fund? It is the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. I'm working that one, so I don't know.
And then I guess on 6219, after the comma.
The groundwater comma.
After the groundwater comma, thank you, yes. After groundwater comma, and I'm going back to the constitutional language here. The plan is, let's make sure this works.
Need a verb.
Yes, we do. Enhance the arts.
Enhancing for arts.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Morgan, it above it says restoring, protecting, and enhancing. So enhance is already included.
This is four.
And it's the applicable outcome. So whatever applies to that fund. I don't think you need to put in enhance. I think what you want to do is just say, after the groundwater comment 6219, say arts education, arts access, preservation of Minnesota's history and cultural heritage.
And supporting parks and trails is where it continues on to the next line. So that
right.
would work, I think,
yeah.
Mr. Knopf and Mr. Okay. Chair.
Mr. McCormick?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that makes some sense. Representative Morgan, you're moving that language then?
I had two more corrections, Mr. Chair, or recommendations. The word sound science occurs twice as far as I can see, and maybe research can correct me on that, but I believe on 62.30, I would strike sound and insert current.
I'm going to believe you because I made the mistake of not knowing you were a physics teacher. So
apology accepted, Mr. Chair. And on 63.2, Mr. Chair, again, strike sound and insert current. And then I would, what I would move then, Mr. Chair, is that language from 62.6 through 63.5 as amended with those changes. And I would also move from the House language, line 72.31 to 73.29.
Madam Chair, I would recommend that we not include the restoration audits, and that unless Representative Morgan wants to, because those are tied to some appropriations for legislative order. So I think you should stop after 73.14.
Yep.
Okay. Let's try Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question about dates. On the Senate side, we say by January 15th, 2011. And on the House, on line 73.11, we have November 15th, 2009. I wonder if they're compatible. And in any event, December 15th of 2009 seems like a really short time period.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fredrickson, would you suggest we replace that with January 15, 2010?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Morgan, at least. and I guess I have a little more basic this is a legislative guide. I have a little bit of a question. Why can't the standing committees just do this without putting it into law? It's a section that refers just to the legislature.
That's not an invalid point. Representative Morgan?
Mr. Chair, I guess the thought on the committee was that we wanted to be sure to instruct the Senate and the House to work on this together so that they're not working independently in silos. Maybe we can just get along. I don't know, Senator Fredrickson. That was my thought.
And then we could have an understanding for the next round of appropriations.
Well, except
so we wouldn't be caught in the same situation that we are last night and tonight.
No, I mean, obviously, we're going to have different appropriations because we end up going on different tracks.
Right, but we would have a better understanding of how things came to be, Mr. Chair, how we developed of our philosophies.
Okay, you know, we have, I think, smaller committees. So for doing this jointly, do we get outvoted all the time by the House?
Person's full again.
How many people on your committee, Mr. Chair?
Four. No, I think, on the divisions, though, we have, what, eight? We have a vote that's trying to close vote. We'll be back 5 minutes, okay?
We'll be here.
Thank you.
Think about this.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you.
Check on that university.
Take going the mic sound.
When we're talking about.
Conceptually, we're trying to figure out. Senator Fredrickson, why don't you go ahead?
Mr. Chairman and members, I would like this Section 3 language that if we could. I'm sort of doing this on the fly, so let me think here for just a second. I would suggest that we, Mr. Chairman, members, I would suggest that we put this in uncodified language. And I'm sorry, I'm drawing kind of a circular.
I can now. Mr. Chair, I have a question I could ask while Senator Fredrickson takes a moment to draft that. I was going to suggest this, not to codify this either, so I'm glad Senator Fredrickson suggested that. I guess my question is sort of a broader question about this process that you're recommending in the legislative guide about establishing principles and desired outcomes for the funds. It seems to me that what's the article? All of Article 5 mostly contains language that is establishing outcomes and goals and guides for future expenditures of the funds. I thought that was sort of most of what the governance language was intended for. And so I'm a little confused about having a process to set those outcomes and those guidelines and principles, but also have a bunch of them in language already that you'd like to put into law. And maybe it makes sense to have this process to try to establish some of those outcomes before we put them into law.
And to supplement that, with the legislative guide, that's why the the strategic plan language in the Senate seemed to be okay with your additions, but this legislative guide language, isn't it basically telling the legislature to be the legislature?
Mr. Chair, somebody better. Mr. Chair, I think one of the things that came out of our committee work was the sense that we want to look 25 years ahead, but we don't want to just look 25 years ahead. We want to keep an eye on the short term as well. And this legislative guide was designed to keep us focused on the short-term goals as well as just the long-term goals.
So why don't you go back to the language you've amended on R14 and add something about a 5-year plan and a 25-year plan or something like that. And then you've got what you're looking for.
Well, and Mr. Chair, I guess I was going to suggest that we could add certainly a 10-year time frame into this 25-year plan, because we've heard a lot of discussion about why we should have a shorter-term plan. So I'd be certainly open to that. I think, and just, I mean, having this long-term plan that I put in the Senate language, I thought was almost more important for the purposes of accountability to the public than it was just to tell ourselves what to do. It was about establishing some expectations of what we'll do with these funds, and then putting it out to the public so that then they can hold the legislature accountable. Rather than saying, you know, legislators, you know, just tell yourself what to do.
Yeah. And there's a second reason I like that language, both in the House and the Senate, in terms of the 25-year plan, is we're sitting here in whatever it is, 2009, and I'm not sure how many of us will be sitting here 20 years from now. I know I won't be.
Well, Senator, I think we can make it.
Well,
still be in this conference committee 25 years.
I'm not suggesting it's not an issue of whether or not we can make it. The question is whether or not we're going to be here.
We are.
Speak for yourself. I'm conveying my vote to Representative Lilly at some point. So I think rather than tell the legislature, here's what we want you to do this year, we're going to tell you what to do next year, as opposed to providing some guidelines to the legislature 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, where even if Representative Murphy is here, maybe some of the rest of us won't be, and so that there's some continuity in that regard. That's why the 25-year thing I found appealing. Representative Wagenius?
I think there's some appeal to me in having the House and the Senate meet jointly to talk about where some of these underlying principles in the short term that could be merged with the strategic plan. It leads up to the strategic plan. But I think we need to have that discipline for ourselves to say, we're going to meet together and work on this together. It's almost like a commission.
And Representative Wagenius, I understand what you're saying, but it's not a commission. It's not the Pension Commission. It's not the Council on the Economic Status of Women Commission. It's legislative committees. And that's why what Senator Frederickson suggested was maybe not codifying it, because I've never had problems with joint meetings of legislative committees. That joint committee can't take action, obviously, and so I'm not sure why we'd have to put that in session law or statute or whatever. Senator Saxhog?
Does the Outdoor Heritage, Lizard Outdoor Heritage Council fall in here anywhere?
I'm looking at the Senate. You mean in terms of the legislative guide or the 25-year strategic plan?
In terms of having a part in this whole plan.
Mr. Chair, under the Senate language, the council would make the 25-year plan for the habitat portion.
But the legislature wouldn't make it for them. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, in our discussions, it became obvious that we've got to have more communication so we don't have four separate silos, and that down the road a ways, you know, this is going to be probably over $13 billion by the time we're done of responsibility and fiscal stewardship on these four funds. And we cannot, down the road, as we proceed, next year and the year after and the year after, we have to do more communication between the people that are guiding the funds. No matter how good they are and how wonderful they are and how carefully selected the stewardship is among the people, we have to get more communication between the people that are guiding those four funds in making sure good decisions that are accountable to the public. That is the intent of every single person that ever went to help someone else learn about the amendment to vote. And they voted. And we know that from the discussions that took place, that at some point in time, we're going to have more discussions between the leaders of the various funds, because there's going, as Representative Wiginia said, there's going to be some overlapping. There's going to be more having to work together, because if we're creating just as a person that came to our public hearing on the clean water, he was recommending that we make habitat changes for fishing, when indeed that is one of the things that the Outdoor Heritage Council feels is part of their functions. And Mr. Kilgore, when he came, or Dr. Kilgore commented when he came that they were ready to work and cooperate with the other people in the other funds. And someday we're going to get where it's not going to be separate funds. It's going to be people working together on the legacy amendment for common goals.
Okay.
And preserving their individual, the individual expectations and the individual constitutional responsibilities. We don't want to merge those in any way, but we're going to go beyond that, because the people are going to be looking at them not as separate people just carrying one flag, but carrying four flags. And our grandchildren are going to be better off because of it.
Well, Representative Murphy, I appreciate what you're saying, but boy, that sounds like the legislature. I've been a finance chairman in this building since 1993, and that's what I've done all the time as a finance chairman, whether as a division chairman or as the finance committee chairman in the Senate. When I first started chairing State Departments, when we had this huge State Departments division, and Senator Frederickson will buttress me with this. He's actually senior to me on that division. We set up interagency agreements. We had departments working with departments. We had departments working with agencies that were not state agencies. We directed action between state agencies and counties. I could go through a multiplicity of stuff, for that's what we did. And we never codified it to tell the Finance Committee of the State Senate that you got to do all this stuff.
We don't have to codify it, but we should be stating it so that people know what to expect from us in the next year or so.
So
they're out there in limbo in some cases. And there's other people that are saying, gosh, you're talking. Oh, no. Don't talk about this or don't talk about that, because we already know somebody's talked about that. It's We've got to open the doors.
Okay. Representative, I wish it was first. Representative Wagenius?
Well, I was going to say, if I hear some agreement about something uncodified or discussing things together, Senator Frederickson is a master at this kind of stuff, figuring out how to write it. I bet he could come up with something.
Chair Representative Wagenius, I've been struggling with this legislative guide, which seems simple, but thanks for your confidence.
Yeah, but he's failing you.
No, he's not, because he always comes through. I've been on enough conference committees, I know.
Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I'm happy to accept Senator Frederickson's recommendation that we not codify this language. I don't know exactly how that would work out, but I'm happy to accept that recommendation. I'm also happy to accept Senator Saxog's recommendation that we invite the Outdoor Heritage Council to be a part of this as well. So I'd be happy to move some language that would at least address Senator Saxog's concern if Senator Frederickson will help show me the way on how to satisfy his concerns.
Well, Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, this is what I was thinking about, Representative Morgan. On 72.32 after A, insert recommended. It would be a recommended legislative guide and then continue on. And then I would add a sentence that would read something like this. The recommendations of the committees must be presented to the legislature by January 15, 2010, to be acted on by the legislature.
And, Mr. Chair, that sounds like reasonable language to me. Senator Frederickson, would that replace the language there on 7310 to 7312? I guess.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Representative Morgan, I did see that. Now, this language, 10, 11, and 12, has the committee completing their work by December 15th. Do you think that's duplicative?
Right. I mean, if we're going to go with what you just read, and I hope somebody wrote that down because I've forgotten it already. Did you write it down? Okay, good. Thank you, Senator.
Mr. McCormick needs it again.
Page 96, R96.
Mr. Chair, could we ask Senator Frederickson to read that again, please?
Yes.
So House Senator. Research could get that. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Morgan, on line 32, after A, insert recommended, and then add a sentence at the end of the that section that would read, the recommendations of the committees must be presented to the legislature by January 15th, 2010, to be acted on by the legislature. And then we could delete lines 10, 11, and 12. And one more on line 6, delete such and insert the...
What? I didn't get that last
one. Line 6, just preferred language, delete such and insert the...
So it would say desired outcomes for the expenditures?
97.
And I have one question. Well, a small change on line 73.2. Committee should be committees, because in the Senate there's not a single committee.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, I agree.
And then 73.13 and 14, to the extent practicable, the legislative guide shall be used to direct future appropriations. I'm concerned about that language.
Mr. Chair, I think with Senator Frederickson's new language, I think that we can strike that as well.
Okay.
And, Mr. Chair, if I might, then what I would recommend changing on line 73.1, strike and by... And then on 73.2, strike the period, add a comma, and add "and the Outdoor Heritage Council," period.
Chairman, that currently is called the Lessard Outdoor Heritage Council.
Okay, so and the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Council?
Well, correct? Now that's, Mr. Chad, that was not my motion.
Well, except I know the House takes a position to change the name, but right now that's the name. So if we're going to change the name, I'd suggest we should be consistent with what's presently in statute and then depend on what the conference committee does. Remember, I'm still holding out for the Lasard Cohen Council, so remember that.
Mr. Chair, I thought it was the Murphy Cohen Council.
I'm sorry. Thank you for the correction.
Constitution.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the purpose of this section is for the two relevant committees to create a guide for the use of these dedicated funds. Is that the general purpose of the section, if Senator Fredrickson's language were to be amended?
Senator Fredrickson?
Chairman, Senator Chaudhry, I think that's correct. We have also talked about incorporating on page R-115 the Senate language about a 25-year strategic plan. And I am unclear now, Mr. Chairman. Are these two sections linked? Have we adopted the section three, or are these tied together in the motion?
I've been assuming that they would be together.
Together, yes. So we're considering both.
So, Mr. Chair, let me ask you this. There's a framework and plan for the parks. There's a framework and plan for the water. We already have a statewide preservation plan. There's a website. There's going to be a legislative committee on to determine, I think, a plan. And now there's going to be a legislative guide. So, Mr. Chair, how many trees are we going to kill to try and preserve all these trees that we're trying to preserve, protect, and conserve? I mean, how many plans are going to be needed for this amendment? How many plans and how many guides are going to be created and more than likely shelved and collect dust? And how much money is going to be spent to create all of these plans that are arguably redundant instead of actually using the money to protect, enhance, and preserve?
Well, Senator Chaudhry, I'm not sure we've adopted other language in terms of other plans or whatever. I think we've talked about the website, though we haven't adopted language. That's in both bills, and both bills have language directing the legislature to be the legislature.
That's my question, Mr. Chair, is this road that we're going down about creating all these plans, how much did the public expect for us to create in terms of bureaucratic busy work as opposed to actually using the money to protect, preserve, and enhance? I'm just really, every time we turn to the language, there's another plan that's to be created. And I just am confounded.
I can only speak to the Senate language on R-114. There's no money expended in that language.
I'm looking at the Senate language on R-96, and it's blank, and that's quite the way I'd prefer it.
I was looking at the Senate language on 114.
And then following, there's more audits. I mean, I don't understand what the purpose of this amendment is. Okay. I thought it was
Senator Chaudhry,
what?
Make sure we understand, because I'm not sure when you came in. I don't know about the House. Senate's not talking about the audit section 4. That's not.
I know we're not talking about that now. I'm just reading forward, because that's probably the next thing we're going to talk about. All we're talking about is planning with the money and auditing the money. How much money are we going to use with the money in planning and auditing
as opposed to actually doing something with it?
I hope very little.
Well, I mean, who's going to do this legislative guide? Who's going to print it? Now the legislature's going to do it?
I'm assuming.
I don't understand what we're trying to accomplish here with all of these plans and guides. And they're undoubtedly going to be conflicting because they're created by different entities. And I don't think that's what the people voted for. That's my point.
Representative Morgan.
Mr. Chair, I may have a suggestion that can get us through this addition that Senator Saxog suggested on line 73.2. Get us around the name issue. We could, for now, adopt language that says, and the council charged with recommending appropriations from the Outdoor Heritage Fund. And maybe that will move us forward and we can cross
he's adding that.
That bridge
that.
Oh, I see.
House and Senate
when we come to it.
Representative Davids.
I defer to Representative Morgan, the physics teacher, on that one.
I would just speak for solemn breath.
What do you teach?
I was a history teacher. Sociology and psychology.
Yeah. I think he helps you on this one.
Physics kind of likes them
all. I was a history major, so I mean, all right, where are we on this? Representative Frederickson?
Or
Senator Frederickson?
Mr. Chairman, I think we're about ready to adopt the Senate language on page R114 and the amended language on R96, line 72.31 through 73.9.
Mr. Chair, just House research corrected me. We do only want to go up to 73.9. You're right, because we eliminated all those others. So thank you, Senator Frederickson. Yes, 73.9 as amended.
All right.
Mr. Chair, so then it would be 62.6 through
62.5
with current.
Mr. Chair, my recommendation is current, and I'll continue to discuss science with my good friend, Representative Davids.
The
many
teacher.
Hours we'll be spending on the floor next to each other over the next few days.
Mr. Chair, couldn't it be current sound science?
Change current because of you.
I think we're going to give the deciding vote on this one, Representative Hansen.
Well, Mr. Chair, sound science tends to be the science you agree with.
I'm not sure that's what the dictionary says, Mr. Chair.
Well, I think in this building, it seems to be the science you agree with.
So you're suggesting current.
Current.
Representative Davids, you're outvoted 2-1 on this one. For this purpose.
I just think sound science
has more
like you've got a test and foundation.
Well, it is.
I would just say the opposite. I think current is kind of what.
Mr. Chair, I think the reason we went with current was earlier we had this conversation where we changed or added current science into some language earlier on today.
Last night.
Was it last night? So I was just trying to be consistent, Mr. Chair. All right. I will be happy to defer to Senator Anderson because I suspect that that's...
Mr. Chair, I was a history major, too.
Okay.
Yeah, she's staying out of this.
From an excellent post-secondary institution, I might add.
Is it true that we have something in common on that?
Is he a Carlton grad?
Mr. Chair, guilty.
I thought I was the only one left in the legislature, so I'm glad to know that. We're well represented here. Well, then I can't, you know, I'll have to defer to Representative Morgan.
Representative, you're not doing well in this argument at all.
Now we're going to start this.
Sir? You're not doing very well in this one at all.
It's not looking good.
All right. We have Senator Fredrickson's motion, and these sections would be incorporated together. I assume that's what you're are integrated together. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries.
Division.
Division has been requested. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Okay, motion carries. All right. What?
Were there three votes on each side?
There were. All right. Are we waiting for the Senator Torres-Ray?
Mr. Chairman, if this is a good time, I would like to provide some feedback on my review of the Parks and Trails. Representative Williams, you are correct. I had to read the whole thing, so thank you for saying that. And we review this. We think it's really a good suggestion. We have a question, perhaps, and a suggestion if the House could review this. I'm sorry, but I don't believe that everybody has this, a copy of this, so I don't think that I can talk. Did everybody get a copy of the amendment that was brought by House members?
Mr. Chair, Senator Torres-Ray, why don't you say the number that's on top of it?
The number is 344. Everybody, okay. So I am going to be using 344, A 344 amendment. On line 118, the university has a little bit of a kind of it's uneasy about the funding piece. The House suggests that we use the 25-year framework for the use of money. In the Senate, we had the language, a 25-year framework. We had a 25-year framework integrated statewide park trail system. Integrated statewide parks and trail system. So we don't talk just about the money, but the system in general. So a suggestion would be that we don't specifically say funding, because the interpretation could be that they have to suggest only money for the framework, and it's more than that. So we suggest that we incorporate the language that is later being used on 215. 215 has 25-year framework for an integrated statewide parks and trails system, rather than just funding. That will imply is everything. So we will delete for the use of money all the way to funding, to the period, and incorporate language that is now in the second page in line 215. And the second suggestion would be to really review the time frame, just because it would take a little bit to put together, a little bit of time to put together a 25-year framework. So they would like to suggest that we use the same date that you provided in the third page, which is in 326. You ask for a report on October 1st, 2010. They suggest that we could use either November or October, whatever is, you know, the pleasure of this committee, November 1st of 2010 for both. So that will give them a little bit of time. And then the same will be the case for DNR on page on subdivision 3.316. So they will have the same date. And because DNR will have to use the university work, they would like to see if we could put January 2011. So that gives them about a month to review and bring it to us. There is another suggestion, members on line 322. That language was part of what we suggested in the Senate. We use the word application, and we have been told that application is really not a good word for this because it's really not an application, but it's material. A website application is something different. What we want is an actual report and material like this. This is not an application, so they want us to change the word application to the word material because that's what we are requesting them to do. So those are the changes that I believe are minor changes. But other than that, Mr. Chairman and members, we think that this language is ready.
Representative Wagenius.
I'd like to have a discussion about the funding issue. And that's, and perhaps it's not worded well, but the funding issue is this, that we want people to work together to create a kind of basic framework, knowing that they can't spend more money than we have. And that's probably been our biggest problem in Parks and Trails as we do our financing. I'm one that I love trails, and I'm a softie for trails. But we don't know how much we can build in Minnesota. We have no clue how much we can build. So what we have right now is we have a statewide plan for trails that we've authorized for 2,500 miles. We've developed about half of it, and the cost of the other half is about $390 million. So it's hard to know how much we can add unless we do have the frame of the money. And so I think the folks, since this is a collaboration in the first part, it's not just the U alone, but it's a collaboration with, you know, the Central Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails Coordinating Board and DNR and the U, that they can fairly easily project how much money. I mean, we've been doing some projections of dollars overall, how much we have. They can fairly easily project the amount of money we have and fairly easily project the amount of miles of trails we can build. So then we aren't promising Minnesotans something we can't deliver. I worry about that a lot. I don't want to promise people something and say, in 25 years, this is what you'll have, and we really can't do it. So I think, the dates and all that, I think we just worked through and discussed. But the money part, having worked with this budget, scares me to death not to look at the dollars. I sound like a conservative Republican, don't I? But it is, and here, let me give you the example. There were some folks in southwest Minnesota that wanted to extend their trails system in the legislature this year. I thought they were great plans. I didn't know whether it would be fair to another part of the state to extend that, because we didn't know how much money we had. So I think the money is really important.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And looking at this amendment, one concern that I have is bringing the university into a lot of this. I'm just kind of nervous because the way the university works is they want money, and we give them money, and then when we want to do something, then they're land grant university, they don't have to do what we want. Are we setting ourselves up for a problem, or should we tie them down and tighten up so they have to do what we want? You give them all this money, and then we go do something and say, you're a land-grant university, we're a land-grant university. And so by bringing them in, I'm a little concerned, well, quite concerned, that we'll give them all this money, and we want some outcomes, and we want to control some things that are done, which we have no more control of DNR. And And they say, well, we're doing this one. You can't tell us what to do. We're land grant university. Are you concerned about that?
Chairman, Senator Frederick Davis. They would enter into a contract to do the work and deliver the finished product to the legislature, to the contracting agency.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Torres-Ray.
If I may, Representative Davids, I believe that the legislation really is telling the university what to do. We are asking them to produce a framework similar to the frameworks that they have produced, and that was precisely why I wanted you to see what the university has done. I ask many, many people to come and present and to tell me, you know, who is capable of putting together a map like this, you know, an integrated system of parks and trails for the entire state of Minnesota. And they've done it for certain regions. They haven't done it for the entire state of Minnesota. So it was clear to me that, and DNR agreed to that you know, they have the capability of producing something like that. And they will come and bring you a report, of course, bring us a report to see, you know, kind of how much progress are they making. So I hope, you know, that clearly this is a serious institution and that they will deliver. And with respect to the question, Representative Wiginias, I couldn't agree more. I believe that you're absolutely correct, and we need to work within our means. There is no question about it. I think the issue here, and perhaps I don't know how we can frame it, I don't know if members read it this way too, the university representatives kind of felt that perhaps when we say it's about the money, they will kind of focus the work on the money and how to work on it, and it's both, perhaps, what you're saying. So I don't know how we can use language that is about the framework, because this is what they do. And then part of it will be with the other partners and the people that they collaborate to look at, you know, within the resources that are allocated for this. So I don't know if we can say, you know, a cost-effective or a cost... I don't know how you can put some words in there. That is a framework that includes, you know, the financial piece that you're talking about. I don't know how we can do that. Maybe you can come up with language.
Representative Davids.
You know, we say we give them this much money, and they're supposed to do this. Is it just giving us a contract? $400,000 to do this, and sign it. I'm seeing where the language
works.
Or is that a given? I don't know.
Senator Frederick. Mr. Chairman, I was looking at the way this was drafted, and to the point that Representative Davids made, I was wondering on page 1, line 16, under that head note, collaborative project, initial framework development, instead of asking the University of Minnesota to collaborate, we say something like is requested to enter into a contract for a project to develop. And then throughout this this document, it says the University of Minnesota Center for Changing Landscapes is requested or is also requested to. I would suggest that we put in the contract language, and then wherever it says is also requested or similar, we say they must. That would be entered into with a contract. I don't know if our counsel is down at the end of the table has heard that or well, if appropriate or has suggestions.
Mr. Chair, Senator Frederickson, the only issue is the appropriation language, though, appropriates the money directly to the University of Minnesota. Usually when you have a contract language like that, you would appropriate it somewhere else so that the money doesn't change hands until the contract is signed.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Knopf, so would it be appropriate to appropriate that amount of money to the Department of Natural Resources for a contract to the University of Minnesota?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ferguson, we do that a lot.
Senator Torres-Ray.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ferguson, this is where the difference of opinion comes. The reason we suggested direct appropriation to the universities because we want to give the university some freedom to put a framework with input from everyone and not to be directed to do a framework based on a contract by an organization. And not to say that DNR does not have the capacity, but the foundation of this work is that we want the university to really do a very practical, technical, clear plan, framework, without really having to listen to the political things that we may need to put in a framework, but just really a plain instrument. And because of that, I suggested that we really try to give a direct appropriation to the university. So I feel very strongly that the university needs to work independently on this and be given the resources to do so. It's up to this committee to make the final decision. But if they enter into a contract, absolutely, they will have to contract with somebody, and that would be DNR, because there is no way to do this, to enter into a contract without having an institution that will give the money.
Mr. Chairman, Sir Torres Ray, I think we could accomplish what you want to accomplish with the way we word this language in this section and also in the contract. And I do have some concern that Representative Davis has. This is public money. It's $400,000. That there should be some accountability of what product we're going to get in return for that $400,000. It's kind of the balancing act we're doing here.
As we're doing the balancing act, I think there's this other balance that we have to do. And because the original collaboration is between a number of groups, our parks groups, Metropolitan Council, the Central Minnesota Regional Parks and Trails, Coordinating Board, Regional Parks and Trails Organization outside the metro area, these folks have all got to come to some sort of agreement what Minnesota is going to look like. And that it's from that agreement working with the U that the U then takes that and fleshes it out and does what they need to do. But the first piece of this I do think needs to be a collaboration. It's not a dictation by the U, it's a collaboration. And they're like everybody else. And then they go and do the expansion and do all the kinds of good works that they can do. So I don't want to lose the word collaboration here initially, because I think that's what one of the things that we discovered in the metropolitan area was that folks were kind of at loggerheads. And then they got together and said, no, we've got to be one metropolitan area, and we've got to work together. And I think that's what the House was envisioning, that the DNR, the regional parks, the metropolitan parks, with some other friends, would work together to say, this is kind of where we want to look, where we want to go. And then the U takes that ball and runs with it. So I think they're participating right up front in that collaboration. So they've participated, they've listened to the public, because there is a public part in here. So everybody is kind of on the same page, and the U goes forward and does all the kinds of things that they do to make this work. So I think that we have to be careful that there's not a boss relationship here. But I agree about the contracting thing. I think that can be written, that there's a contract with responsibility. I mean, folks.
Mr. Chairman. Okay. Well, Reverend Davids.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't have any problem with the word collaborative. I think it needs to be collaborative. I've got a huge problem with the word requested.
Okay.
And it kind of reminds me of, if you're invited to a wedding, it'll say your presence is requested. If you're invited by the Queen of England, it says you are required to
see somewhere.
It was her invitations.
Okay.
So I'm really concerned about requests. You can request everything all day long of you, and then you can say, okay, that's the request. But is there a stronger word for request?
Mr. Chairman, we have the word is directed to in the original language, but is directed to.
And I don't think they should be requested, Mr. Chairman. I don't think they should be requested. I think they should collaborate.
Yes, it should.
Well, two things I wanted to say. First of all, looking at this, I know there was a good effort made to try to merge two ideas together, but then when I'm looking at the reports that are required here on page 3, it just seems a little goofy to me. First, we have a 25-year framework. Then a year later, or 2 years later, we have a 10-year plan. And then, sorry. First, we have a 25-year framework. Then we have another 25-year framework a year later. And then a year after that, we have a 10-year plan. And I guess the way I envision the University of Minnesota helping us is to provide the foundation for the information, the maps, the visuals, the data from which all these citizens and groups and stakeholders would put together a plan. And it seems like it's backwards to me that they provide the information, the foundation, and then from that, all these stakeholders that are listed should put together a plan. And it's hard. I'm having trouble getting my head around doing it the opposite order. I just don't see that it makes sense. I think they're the technical. They provide us the technical stuff, and then the decision makers put together what to do with it, rather than the other way around. And so I'm just going to say that, Mr. Chair. While I disagree with Senator Chaudhry, I think plans are important. Before we spend how much money in this bill? $250 million plus. All we've talked about today is plans, and that concerns me a lot, because we have $250 million to appropriate, and we haven't appropriated a penny of it yet. And we've been doing this for a day and a half, and this is important, but we need to pass an appropriations bill, Mr. Chair, and we could spend a long time hashing out these plans.
Yeah.
We're spending an awful lot of time on these.
Yeah. Senator Anderson, I mean, your comment anticipated mine. We had hoped that there was some language that had been worked out that we could have dealt with fairly simply. It appears it still needs further work. So can we maybe lay this over? I want to go back to what Senator Saxhog had suggested a little while ago. We wanted to deal with the water language. We dealt with this legislative committee language. We've attempted to deal with this language. Senator Saxhog, you had suggested earlier. Do you mind, Senator Torres-Ray, if we lay this over and...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Absolutely. I'm sorry. I know you want to move on, but the proposal that the Senate put together was very simple, and it pretty much just said what Senator Anderson just said. We want the university to do something like this. Okay. Give it to the collaborative group so they can do a long-term plan. That was proposed, but now we have these language, and I'm trying to...
So you don't mind if we lay this over for the time being? Okay, fine.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Lilly.
I'm sorry to do this, but I just want to clarify. This is a case where the House actually had less language, and we did not have the University of Minnesota, and we had really spent a lot of time with these groups around the state, and having them work on a plan, and we were trying to accommodate your efforts to add plans and to add an organization to do this. So we're trying to be respectful of that, but we're really committed to this group that looks, and I hope we get back to that will offer an idea. Okay. And I don't think there's much money related to that part of it at all, hardly.
Well, let's. I think we can get back to it. Senator Anderson, quickly.
I just don't want to be misunderstood. That I really support what you're doing with trying to bring stakeholders together in a process. I think that's really important. I was just kind of thinking that should be the last thing that happens. That would sort of wrap up the plan. That they would put the plan together after we got the technical support. That's my only.
Well, let's skip if we can go on, because I'm gonna start taking Senator Chaudhry's more dogmatic approach to this.
Senator Saxaw, earlier you had suggested, and this follows up also on Senator Anderson's comment, that maybe we should take a look at the spreadsheet. Was that correct, Senator Saxaw?
That is. Thank
okay,
you, Mr.
Let's,
Chair.
Let's give Senator Saxaw a chance. Then, Senator Saxaw, what did you have in mind?
Well, Mr. Chair, I mean, we got the spreadsheet, so I would just soon have Mr. Mueller or staff for the House help us go through the spreadsheet.
Okay, do you want to direct us? Are we starting on page one of the spreadsheet?
Tried.
Mr. Mueller, did you... We lost Mr. Mueller?
We have...
Ms. Roberts is going to help us out? Okay.
What spreadsheet are we going by?
Senator Saxaw, do you want to direct Ms. Roberts?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Roberts, would you help us through this these spreadsheets?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Senator, did you just want to go through Article 1, the Outdoor Heritage Fund?
Yeah, that'd be great. But well, actually, I'm fine with going through everything. But Article 1...
I can start the beginning on page one. I'm looking at the spreadsheet that I think you have a couple in here, but it's the one that is labeled at the top, Clean Water, Land, and Legacy Constitutional Amendment, and then House and Senate, fiscal staff at the footnote. Beginning with Article 1, the Department of Natural Resources. Would you like me to walk through each individual item or just point out the differences, I guess?
I think we should have each individual item, Mr. Okay. Chair. For
you, is it okay, sir? Is
that's
okay?
Great.
Okay. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Ms. Roberts. So, Senator Saxaw, this is your idea, so you just...
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Chair. But we've said here, and I'm perfectly comfortable with Representative Murphy's request too, is that we go through each item and just note the differences between the Senate and the House. Mr. Mueller, you have something to say about the differences? That'd be great if there is between the two.
Okay.
There aren't a lot of differences. That's on Article 1. That's gotta be a pretty fast deal.
So let's start with Article 1. Ms. Roberts?
Okay. Members, I'm starting with the Department of Natural Resources on line 4. The first item is the DNR Wildlife Accelerated Prairie Grassland Management, and both the House and the Senate have $1.7 million in the first year. The next item is the Southwest Initiative Foundation Green Corridor Legacy Acquisition. Again, the House and Senate both have similar or have identical recommendations, $1,617,000 in the first year. The next item is for Pheasants Forever Prairie Heritage Fund Acquisition and Restoration, $3 million for both the House and Senate recommendation. On line 7, DNR Wildlife Accelerated Prairie Grassland WMA Acquisition, the recommended amount for both House and Senate is $3.9 million. On line 8, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Northern Tall Grass Prairie Acquisition, the position again for the House and Senate identical, $1.58 million. On line 9, the Minnesota Land Trust Bluffland Prairie Protection Initiative, the recommendation is $500,000 for both the House and Senate. Moving down to line 10, Anoka County Rum River Cedar Creek Initiative, the recommendation for both the House and Senate is $1.9 million in the first year. Continuing on in the DNR under forests, on line 12, the recommendation for the DNR forestry, Forest for the Future Upper Mississippi River Project. Here there is a difference between the House and Senate position. The House recommended $20 million in fiscal year 10. The Senate has $20 million in fiscal year 10 and $16 million in fiscal year 11. Continuing on with wetlands on line 14, DNR Wildlife Accelerated Wildlife Management Area Acquisitions. The positions are identical, $2.9 million in fiscal year 10. For Ducks Unlimited, the accelerated shallow lake restorations and enhancements, the positions are identical, $2,528,000 in the first year. On line 16, Pheasants Forever, accelerating the waterfall production area program in Minnesota, $5.6 million is the recommendation from both the House and Senate. On line 17, Ducks Unlimited, shallow lake critical shoreland, the recommendation is $450,000 in the first year for both the House and Senate. Continuing on with fish, game, and wildlife habitat, on line 19, the DNR Conservation Partners allocation, the recommendation is $4 million in the first year. DNR Fish and Wildlife Aquatic Management Areas acquisition, the position is identical with $5.7 million in the first year. On line 21, Trout Unlimited, Coldwater River and Stream Restoration, Protection and Enhancement, the recommendation from both the House and Senate is for $2,050,000 in the first year. And on line 22, Dakota County Habitat Protection, the positions are, again, identical, $1 million in the fiscal year 10. Line 23, Three Rivers Park District, Lake Rebecca Water Quality Improvement Project, $450,000 in the first year, or the position for both sides. Shell Rock River Watershed District, Fountain Lake Fish Barriers, for both the House and Senate, $655,000 in the first year. And then finally, on the first page, under administration, contract management, $175,000 in the first year. I will continue on the second page. So at the top of this page, you can see the total DNR appropriations for the House. It's $59,769 for both 10 and 11. For the Senate, $75,769. And that's that difference of, $16 million. Moving on to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, on line 34, under wetlands, Reinvest in Minnesota Wetlands Reserve Program Leveraging Project, the House and Senate both have a position of $9.1 million. And moving then down to lines, beginning on line 42, here you will see some differences. It's under the legislature administration. On line 42 for the LCC, Outdoor Heritage Council administrative support and council expenses, the House has recommended $403,000. The Senate position is $695,000 in the first year. The next line is for the LCC public information website. The House has a total of $90,000 for the biennium. The Senate has $10,000 in the first year. And on line 44, for the legislative auditor restoration and financial audits, the House has $192,000 for the biennium. So the total difference there under the legislature is a net of a $20,000 difference. I'll continue on with Department of Agriculture on line 51. Forest Protection Reserve, State Invasive and Exotic Tree Pests Plans. I believe this is Article 8 of the House bill. And the House includes $2 million for this provision. And that's the total for the Outdoor Heritage Fund.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So of all these, everything's under Article 1 except for the Department of Agricultural Appropriation, which is Article 8. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what was your question?
Oh, well, it isn't a question. It's that what we're reviewing here is Article 1 Outdoor Heritage Fund, and what we're noting is that everything is under Article 1 except for the Department of Agriculture appropriation for the invasive species, emerald ash borer, I believe, and that's Article 8.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, sir.
Well, I guess we're all open to discussion. We, as you as everybody here knows, yesterday I think we had some pretty good testimony on three in particular of the the Outdoor Heritage Fund's appropriations. Number one, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife's Northern Tallgrass Prairie acquisition, which I don't know. Does anybody have any other questions on that, or were those questions appropriately answered, or should we that discussible, or what?
Representative Morgan,
Mr. Chair, we do have some language differences on that acquisition, and I guess that's probably an issue that ought to be resolved.
Well, I would agree, but what I'm wondering is, listening to Ms. Roberts go through the list and looking at this, we have the same appropriation for everything in Article 1 except on the spreadsheet, line 12, DNR forestry, and then the legislative line and the Department of Agriculture line. So I think everything else is the same, I think, to the dollar. So Senator Anderson talked about this is an appropriations bill. I don't know, would the House be interested? I don't know if anybody wants to make any motions or anything, but I'm hoping maybe the House, to kind of get this off the dime, would consider adoption of some of the same numbers. I mean, obviously, we have some language differences we have to resolve in the context of some of these appropriations, but we agree on the appropriations, I believe. Representative Morgan?
Mr. Chair, it just seems odd that, you know, if, just because we have the same appropriation, we're not, in several cases, buying the same thing, apparently. And until we agree as to what it is we're buying.
So where do we have language differences? Can we specify that, Representative Morgan?
Well, Mr. Chair, I can probably outline what those three are.
All right. Why don't you specify where there are language differences?
Well, first of all, we're on R4, and we're dealing with the, as I said, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Northern Tallgrass Prairie acquisition. And the difference I believe between the House and the Senate is the middle of 4.23 and the House side to 4.27, which notes land acquired for these purposes must remain in the possession of the state or local government or private party based in Minnesota. Permanent easement may be granted, and this is worthy of discussion, but the testimony we heard yesterday was that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service really isn't particularly interested in having anything, but or at least would prefer to own the property. And of course, it has a few advantages for the state of Minnesota. One being PILT liability, and just their ability to manage it. So, management. Go ahead, if you've got some.
Mr. Chair,
yes. Morgan.
I see in the next, in letter F, Bluffland Prairie Protection Initiative, we have a small difference where we have the Minnesota Land Trust or successor. I don't know that I would assume that's just a technical difference.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Sexton.
Representative Morgan, I think most of the places in here where it says or successor, for my part, I would accept all those as a good addition to the language.
Okay, so would that take care of the language difference in that section?
Well, Mr. Chair, would accept, you know, from 4.23, starting with land, to 4.27, if the House and the Senate are basically going to take the same position, we would need to take that language out of the House side if if that would, I would move that if that would be acceptable.
Okay, so Senator Saxhog, you're moving the Senate position on R4, page 4, lines
3.26
3.26 to 4.2 on the Senate side.
Okay. We have Senator Saxhog's motion in front of us. Is there further discussion? If not, all Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chair.
We had the, on the House side, line 4.28 to 5.3.
Mr. Chair, are you...
Representative Murphy.
Is it your intent that we're going to do Article 1?
Well,
appropriations tonight?
Sure, why not? Why don't we do some of the same?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Is it your intent to do Article 2 appropriations tonight?
Well, I thought, you know, what I thought might help, as I mentioned, to get things off the dime, is where we have in Article 1 a lot of the same appropriations and a lot of the same language, we could adopt places that are the same, skip over the places where there are differences, and then we've got, you know, we're starting to build the bill.
Mr. Chair, is it your intent to do all the appropriations tonight? To go through the whole spreadsheet tonight?
Well, actually, that might be not a bad idea where we have the same appropriations. Obviously, where we have different appropriations, different story. But where we have the same, that might be a way to start putting the bill together.
Mr. Chair, could we have a break?
Sure.
10 minutes.
Okay. Do you want to go to my office or?
No, we'll go upstairs to our room.
Okay.
I can make some salsa.
Tomorrow's only.
I'm asking on courtesy, yes. Mr. Chair, because I didn't get any idea what your agenda was today, and I'm still not sure of it.
I don't know that we had an agenda. I've done things kind of differently. I've just tried to.
Tommy?
I could get over to Craig Johnson's across the street here. Just drink a little scotch before I come back.
When we last were together, I think Senator Saxhog, you had talked to, I think, Mr. Knopf, Mr. Mueller, about some thoughts you had as to how to proceed. Is that correct?
Well, Mr. Chair, thank you. I think what I would do first is withdraw my last motion, and I think I made another motion. It's moved to accept the same appropriations in the same language of Article 1.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Murphy.
Before any motions are made, we talked about not jumping ahead, and I know the senator is anxious, but although we did not complete the review of the spreadsheet for each of the funds and the total bottom line, we are suggesting that we talk about the bottom line in each fund and how much we're going to spend in each fund in 2010, 2011, 2000. I said how much we will spend of the projected amounts of money that are going to be available for spending under the legacy money in 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2013, and arrive at those decisions before we talk about particular appropriations for any of the articles.
Okay. Well, I've tried to be pretty accommodating today, and I've never built an appropriations bill that way, ever. Whether as chairman of a division full committee, or chairman of a conference committee, we certainly have established targets for conference committees. There's no target that's been established for this conference committee whatsoever. The target we have is the money available. Not dissimilar from the way we handle it in every other finance division, at least in the state Senate. So I will hang on, Representative Morgan. I will accommodate you for a couple of minutes, and then I want to go on to something else if we can't have any resolution as to what you're suggesting relative to amounts to be spent. If you want to give us some figures, go ahead. I mean, you must have figures in mind.
Well, we have the figures that are on the spreadsheets that we spent.
Okay. All right. Let's
For each of the funds. But we have considerably more money in our reserve than you do, and we have different amounts for each of the funds than you
okay.
do, and we should arrive at perhaps self-imposed targets for each of the funds.
Okay.
I would think. And so we know where we're going.
All right.
And we know how, and the people that have an interest in our expenditures and appropriations would know how much is available, and so that if the amounts in either of our bills are too high or too low, then their numbers are going to change too.
Okay. I talk as much as anybody, and so I'm going to try to keep my speeches to a minimum. You indicated that the House did not want to go past midnight. Was that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so we only have a few minutes. If you'd like to present, or if you'd like to have Mr. Soderberg or Ms. Roberts or somebody present the numbers you have in your bill for the amounts, and then we're going to have Mr. Mueller present the numbers we have for each article in our bill, and we'll talk about it for a couple minutes and see if we have any resolution. Then we'll go back to Senator Saxhoff. So, Mr. Soderberg, do you want to present the House numbers for each article? Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members, I'll be starting on page 3, which is the outdoor heritage. If you look at the fund balance after appropriation and you go to the House Senate, you'll see that the House is what fund balance would be $16,375,000 after appropriation. Now, I do want to caution members that these numbers reflect on line 60 and 61 the House position as they went into the Tax Committee, and the Senate and the Governor's position is a couple of items because of the interaction with the Tax Committee. But for the purpose of the conference, you'll probably just want to go with the forecasted receipts because we have no idea what's going to happen with those. And but that's the House position one, and largely that is due because of the second year appropriation in the forest portion of the appropriation. Going forward,
and I'm sorry, that's the $16 million figure on on line 66.
Yeah, and okay. Like I said, that's largely due to that. Moving forward, looking at the clean water, this will be on page 7. And you'll see that largely the Senate spent considerably more money in the first year on clean water. The second year, it's much more closer. I'm looking at line 195, and that transfers down to the fund balance on line 207. And like I said, I'll caution you on that a little bit, but the reason being that it's really the first year, the FY 10 Senate numbers that's driving the difference there. Moving on to Parks and Trails, I'm now on page 9, line 257. Again, you have the phenomenon where the Senate spent about $11 million more than the House. They're very close in FY11, and that continues throughout to the end of the. There's a $12 million difference between the two in the first biennium. And then looking at the last article of the four constitutional articles, you'll see that the House and the Senate reflecting, the tax exemption, if that were to go through, is right almost at the balance, and the House is, $1.7 million. And in the out years, the House's balance is about three times what the Senate balance is, and it's about a $5 million difference for the biennium. And the last one is the management one. It is a revenue on, and it's unknown because we don't know what might happen with the Outdoor Heritage Fund next year, so we don't have any idea what that would be. And that's it.
Okay, thank you.
You can see the total appropriations.
And Representative Murphy, did you want to comment on how you arrived at these figures, not in terms of the appropriations, but why one amount versus another amount?
Representative Wiginius?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the Clean Water and in the Parks and Trails, we followed the governor very closely, setting aside the same kind of reserve that the governor set aside. And there were actually two reasons for that. One, because we know that he has a large pen, and he's perfectly willing to use it. So taking a conservative approach, we thought that he would not need the opportunity to get out his large pen. But the second thing in the waters part in particular, we had lots of proposals for TMDLs and cleanup, some proposals for drinking water, but we had virtually no proposals for prevention or groundwater. And we chose very specifically to save some money and say this will be available in January to spend if folks come forward with good plans, good spending plans to take care of some of the groundwater issues and some of the prevention issues. So it was part to follow the same path that the governor did with the big pen in mind, but part of it was that there were simply no proposals for, or very little in the way, for groundwater or for prevention.
Okay, and parks?
And in parks, we've followed the governor, knowing that coming in January, we were thinking that we would have a parks plan in late fall, and that we could then have an opportunity to spend some money in January or next session on some of the as a result of the planning process.
Okay. And arts, culture?
Well, that I can't answer.
Can anybody answer?
Representative Morgan.
Mr. Chair, we tried in Article 4, as in the other funds, to make sure that we had sufficient reserves to deal with any failure to meet expectations in the projections, and also some to deal with some cash flow issues. We also crafted some of our language in the appropriations in Article 4 in order to help with some of the cash flow issues. And in Article 1, we attempted to address the recommendations of the Outdoor Heritage Council, as well as some of the needs that we have seen develop after the council had finished their work. First of all, concerns that developed down in southeastern Minnesota, just across the border from Representative David's district, and more recently, as we've just discovered, right here in St. Paul in Senator Anderson's district. So those were our thoughts behind the targets we chose to set on our side.
Well,
I hate to say it this way, but your comment is somewhat contradictory to what Representative Wagenius just said, to the extent that what I heard from Representative Wagenius is that at least in Article 2 and 3, the money not spent in the second year of the biennium, that when you were trying to follow the governor's recommendations for reasons of, you know, vetoes, whatever, and that other money's not spent were because you wanted the time to promulgate a more complete plan to look at appropriations. But, Representative Morgan, you said in Article 4 the reason was for cash flow purposes. Representative Wagenius did not say that in terms of Article 2 and Article 3. So I thought maybe the money, in all honesty, was cash flow throughout, and that's not what I heard. Since the issue in Article 2 and Article 3 is a question of, is this appropriation appropriate for reasons of having a plan, not having a plan, that would seem to get to the issue of the way it works in any finance conference committee, that we have differences on appropriations. You know, Senate thinks, and I can speak, Senator Tomasoni's not here, I can speak in more detail of about some of the arts culture stuff. Senator Anderson can speak in more detail about some of the environmental clean water appropriations. But I can tell you in serving as a member of Senator Tomasoni's division, not as Senator Anderson's, but obviously serving as chairman of the full committee, I can tell you from listening to this stuff, working with this stuff, that the Senate had a pretty clear concept of the plan we were trying to implement. So sounds like at least in Article 2 and 3 we have differences with the plans. Article 4, arguably a question of cash flow. So, Representative Murphy, are you suggesting we should just kind of, then without looking at the appropriations, just kind of come up with a bottom line number? Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm suggesting that we should know what the bottom line number is for each of the funds before we start appropriating.
But that was my point, that in listening to Representative Wagenius, Articles 2 and Articles 3, in terms of appropriations made on the House side, were determined based upon the need to more fully promulgate a plan leading to appropriations. In the Senate, we think we already did that. So that's why I'm saying it's a question of appropriation by appropriation. So we'd have to go through it item by item as to whether or not the appropriation makes any sense. Representative Morgan.
So,
sorry, Senator Cohen, I think what we're trying to indicate to you is that we're willing to talk about the appropriations. We prefer to talk about the language. You want to talk about the appropriations. We're willing to talk about the appropriations. We're comfortable in doing it such a way that before we start appropriating line by line, we know what the bottom line is going to be.
Okay. Let's go back to Article 1 then. We have two differences in terms of dollars. We have Line 12, the Upper Mississippi River Project, where the Senate's – now, the House spends $20 million for that based upon the recommendation of the Heritage Council. The Senate spends $36 million. So we know there's a difference relative to that. We also know, as was pointed out – by Mr. Soderberg, there's a difference on line 51 in terms of this little insect, the ash borer deal, of $2 million. We also know there's a difference in terms of the governance section relative to the LCC and the legislature and whatever. So we know there are differences there. So I don't think it's a question of a bottom line. The question is, should we or should we not spend money on the emerald ash borer? I think that's what it's called. And the other issue is, should we spend as much money as the Senate or the House number on the Upper Mississippi River Project, or should we maybe compromise in the middle? I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think as we work through this, I'm not quite sure how we could move any appropriation items until we know what the bottom line is in each fund and globally the total, because if we just start moving appropriations, I mean, that takes that much out of the pot. Now we got this much. I think as a conference committee, we have to come up, we've got to agree on the bottom line on the dollars. We got to agree, what are the dollars? And then before we start moving appropriations, I think we have to agree on language.
Well, no,
because I don't know how you move $1 until you know how many, we're not the same on dollars. I think the first step is we got to know what the dollars are. Then we have to know, then we have to agree on a number because we don't have the same numbers. So how can we move how can we move appropriations when we have two different sets of numbers?
Okay, can I answer that for a second, Senator Sagsa?
Yep.
Let me tell you how. Okay, let's look at Article 1, Line 4, DNR Wildlife Accelerated Prairie Grassland Management. House, $1,700,000 in FY10. Senate, FY10, $1,700,000. That sounds like the same number to me. Now, are you suggesting, Representative Davids, that the House will take a position different on that line than the $1,700,000? Do you think we should spend less on it or more on it?
What I'm saying is I think
or not, nothing on it.
Well, know what the number is. The final number, the total final global number, we need to know what that is because we're not the same. We don't have the same numbers right now. We have to know what they are. Yeah, that's the same, but what's going to happen is you're going to chip away at it, and the universe is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller, and then we have separate numbers. That doesn't make any sense. When I'm doing a budget for my business, I look at what the total thing is first, and then I start working it from there. I don't say, well, let's do this, this, and this, and then, oh, we'll figure this out down here. I think we have to have a – now, this is just me. I think we have to have a total number agreed upon between the two bodies, and then before you even appropriate a dollar, we have to have the language in there because the language will affect the appropriation. We start spending a whole bunch of money, and then the language can come back in and mess it up. Now, in my perfect world, I say we know what the dollars are. Then I say for each fund, we know what the target is, and we agree on a target first on each one because as we chip away at this thing and we're spending money, we're going to end up here. We're going to got like two trains on the same track going at each other, and you hear a very loud thud when they hit because at the end, you don't have the same numbers. So, yeah, we have some same numbers that could possibly move.
That's not true. That's not true at all in Article 1. Senator Saxhawk.
Well, Mr. Chair, my motion, of course, is just for the same appropriation, the same language, because I can understand how there will be a discussion and should be for same appropriation, different language, and there are a number of those. If there's no in terms of Article 1, if there's not comfort with the bottom line, the final line that you refer to, Representative Davids, we should probably have our financial people just review how those dollars got to the bottom line, and then I think we could deal with the same appropriation, same language.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to comment that in the Senate we followed a pretty methodical approach, and we chose to have a 10% reserve for each fund. I don't think that's been stated yet, and it needs to be said. And I think we've been advised that that's financially responsible, that will provide the cushion that we need for cash flow purposes, that it's only for the first year that you have to do that. And that's the Heritage Fund, given that we have the same allocations more or less in the first year, we both have that 10% more or less, with the exception of the Emerald Ash Borer. And I wonder if the House would consider accepting that as a bottom line, a 10% reserve fund, because that would get us a long ways towards starting to be able to talk about the allocations.
That sounds like a good idea. To be fair, and Senator Thomas, when he's not here tonight, he had a different approach within his article.
But. Mr. Chair, I'm sorry. I'm just talking about the three funds in my division.
Representative Wagenius.
Do we know why the governor did his approach that was not 10%?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator.
Representative Wagenius, I do not know, but my fear was that it would allow for, honestly, this is, you know, I'm basing this on nothing, but it concerned me that it could subject the funds to be raided for other purposes in case of budget problems. That was my fear, and I didn't think that was a good idea to leave those funds sitting on the table. And it also seemed to me that the public voted for this overwhelmingly and that they want to see action and that it makes sense to get that money out and get it to work as as much as is reasonably possible. That's the best answer I've got.
We don't have a lot of time left tonight, so let's let me suggest this. It sounds like we're coming at this from a couple of different approaches. Sarah Saxog, did you want to try anything with Article 1, and then we'd let the House try their approach and see how that works?
Well, again, Mr. Chair, the motion that I have on the table is to accept same appropriations and same language.
Okay, and what sections are those?
I believe on the front page, I believe it's every line except for line 8, 12, and 19.
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, Senator Saxon, you should probably do this by subdivision. I would just ignore the front page.
Okay.
I think what you want to do is start on page R3.
Okay. Mr. Knopf, can you suggest put into words then what's our words?
Mr. Chairman, I think what you want to do is start on page R3. If you look on the House side, 4.1 to 4.9, those are the same. And then if you go over to page R5, well, R4 and R5, 5.4 on the House side to 5.15 on the House side, those are the same. If you go to page R6, 6.8 on the House to 6.15 are the same. And then if you go down to an R7, 7.23 to 7.34 on the House side are the same. Then if you go to page R9, starting at the bottom page R9, 9.31, continue over to 10.6 on the House side, those are the same. On R10, 10.22 to 10.28 on the House side. Also 10.29 to 11.4 on the House side. Same with the Fountain Lake Fish Barriers, 11.5 to 11.17. And then you could also, that paragraph A on contract management, 11.19 to 11.23 on the House side. Those are the same. And then there are some additional, I don't know if you want to get into that, those are the appropriations with the money. There are some other riders that are identical, like on R12, subdivision 7 is the same. On
What was that last one, please?
It was on page R12. Mm-hmm. It's 12.5 on the House to 12.14. And then on page R, a few more here, page R16 and 17, subdivision 11 on the House side, 15.33 to 16.23 is the same, 16.24 to 16.33 on the House side, and the same with 16.34 to 17.4. And I think we have to leave out the land acquisition restrictions because that has the name Lessard on the Senate side and not on the House side. So I think that would be it for the same.
Okay. Senator Saxog?
Well, I would renew my motion for that. I think those are pretty self-explanatory. They're identical, both in appropriation and the language. So.
All right. We have Senator Saxog's motion in front of us. Is there further discussion? Representative Morgan.
Yeah. Senator Cohen, again, I appreciate the fact that Senator Saxog has recognized that there are same appropriations, same language for many of these recommendations. But again, as Representative Davids, I thought, explained very well earlier, we have a difference in the amount of money we want to spend in 2010, and we have a difference in the amount of money we want to spend in 2011. And until we reconcile those differences, not only in this fund, but I think in every fund, we have no business moving forward starting to make appropriations.
Okay. And you had said that Senator Saxog's got a motion that he's made. Senator Chaudhry.
Roll call.
All right. Been a request for a roll call. Is there further discussion? Clerk will take the roll.
Senator Frederickson?
Aye.
Senator Anderson?
Aye.
Senator Chaudhry?
Yes.
Senator Saxog?
Yes.
Senator Cohen?
Yes.
Senator, or Representative Murphy. Excuse me, Representative Morgan. Representative McGinnis. Representative Lilly. Representative Davis.
Well, it appears, I think, that the motion failed. I believe. Senator Stackselg, you're not doing very well. You want to try anything else?
I wasn't doing very well.
I have an idea. It's a little different idea. I don't know if Senator Stackselg had a motion in.
No, go ahead,
Senator. Mr. Chair, maybe I'll propose and make a motion that we, I'm not sure what to do about the arts. So how about if I make a motion that we have a 10% reserve fund in the three outdoors funds?
All right. We have Senator Anderson's motion that there be a 10% reserve of articles. Is that Article 1, 2, and 3?
Yes.
All right. Is that and Mr. Mueller?
Mr. Chairman, I want to clarify that it's 10% of the first year amount and then pretty close to the full amount in the second year is what the Senate approach was.
We got to wait for a second. This is kind of like Chevy Chase in the old Saturday Night Live.
Nice one, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Mueller, do you want? I'll explain that to you later, Ellen.
Okay.
Laughing with you.
Mr. Mueller, you want to try that again?
Mr. Chairman, a clarification that the Senate position was a 10% reserve of the first year of the fund and then pretty close to using up the full amount of the second year. And I think that was what Senator Anderson was proposing.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Chair. Yeah,
right.
10% would be for the first year only.
Okay. Representative Wagenius.
I'm going to object to that mainly in the Clean Water Fund because of the lack of proposals for half of what the citizens said they wanted. Citizens voted to protect groundwater, and there was virtually no work done in groundwater. Little bit from DNR, little bit from PCA. They don't have a plan. I think we have to set aside more money for groundwater and appropriate it next session. I mean, I want to spend the money, but citizens said prevention, citizens said groundwater, and we just didn't get pieces put on the table to deal with those issues. So I feel very strongly that while a 10% reserve might work for parks, it might work for some of the other funds, for waters, I feel very strongly that it doesn't work. Because I really want us to meet the constitutional dictates to protect groundwater and do some prevention.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wagenius, I have a little different perspective. As I look at the waters of the state of Minnesota, I see we have failing septic systems, we have inadequate wastewater treatment systems, we have runoff coming off of non-point sources of pollution. The list goes on and on. And the one issue that really drove voters was clean water. Now, certainly protecting groundwater is important, and certainly clean drinking water is important, but we do not have a lack of programs to fund, proven programs that correct impairments in waters, that stop pollution, that stop things like fecal coliform from going into our groundwaters. I think it would be a travesty, a really break in the contract with the people of Minnesota if we didn't spend these funds to stop that egregious types of pollution from going into our waters.
Senator Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, I agree with you that the groundwater piece of the amendment is critically important, but I don't see why we need to kind of hold the other parts hostage while we wait for that plan. It seems to me, you know, we're going to get money every year for this fund, and as we develop this plan that you're looking for more specific ideas for groundwater, why not move ahead on the surface water that we know what to do, and we have the money. Let's get that going. And, you know, there's always more work to be done than there's going to be money. And we're also putting in place some steps that will, you know, lay the groundwork for that groundwater work. We're doing more well testing or well drilling around the state to do monitoring of groundwater. We're doing more. We're doing the LIDAR. We both have that so that we can measure impacts on groundwater from runoff. And those are sort of some first steps that we're taking to get us ready for that groundwater work. So I just don't understand why we should let other things wait. If we need a better plan, we'll get it. But in the meantime, we have plenty of other work that needs to be done.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick point of clarification on the 10% business. I think the motion was in Article 1, 2, and 3.
Yes.
Why not 4? What was the reasoning behind that?
Mr. Chair, it's a little bit arbitrary, but for me, it's because in my division, I had no involvement in the arts budget. So they didn't put a 10% fund in. We did it uniformly in our division with the three outdoors funds. And we really thought that through. The arts budget is completely different, and I just don't know what they did.
Sarah Thomas-Tony isn't. Sorry. Sarah Thomas-Tony isn't here. So. Yeah. All right. So we have Senator Anderson. I'm sorry, Representative Murphy.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate what you said, Senator Frederickson. But in the case of some of those things, and especially the septic tanks, I have a question of, not the tanks, but the septic system things. I have a question, and if we're putting enough money in the omnibus bills so that additional money from the constitutional amendment would be supplementing rather than supplanting.
Omnibus bills are done. Yeah. All right. We have Representative Wiggins, did you have your hand?
Yes. I think this groundwater discussion is a critical one, and my fear is we do have plenty that we can do in wastewater. We have plenty we can do in surface water. We'll keep on spending that, and there will be no incentive for people to give us plans for groundwater. We have had agencies that have failed us miserably in groundwater. So we were given advice by some great folks that the way you get them to put those plans on the table is to say, here's the money, come up with, tell us what you're going to do. I am ready to appropriate it. But if you would look at PCA's plan for groundwater monitoring in the state, it is pitiful. It is just pitiful. Our groundwater is not being protected.
Okay. We have Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chair, one more comment. And I forgot to mention the sustainable framework that we put the language in for. That's all about sustainability of groundwater. And again, it's another piece that we need, but it won't be done until 2011, and that will queue up a plan for groundwater protection. That's what it's intended to do. So again, I think, you know, we have all the pieces in place to get us there, so we can make it happen. Right. I mean, that's we could say, we could put some language in. You know, we can sunset. This is a two-year appropriation, the waters appropriation. None of it is base in the waters, I don't believe. I'm certain it's not. And it'll all go away. It's not, none of it's going to be there until we appropriate it again. And so we're at liberty to do whatever we want 2 years from now in groundwater.
Senator Rommel, quick comment. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a supplemental comment to what Senator Anderson is saying. The groundwaters and surface waters, as I understand it, interact, and we can't protect one without protecting the other. And in the current biennium, while we're waiting for that sustainability plan to be developed, it seems to me we should make progress on the surface waters. We've got parts of the states where parts of this state where the groundwater and surface waters come into intimate contact, and the sooner we get some of that taken care of, that's protecting groundwater. It's, we could say some of this is protecting groundwater, even though it comes under a surface water activity.
Okay, we have Senator Anderson's motion in front of us, which let's see if I can restate that, to provide a 10% reserve for the first year of the biennium in Articles 1, 2, and 3. Is that correct, Senator Anderson?
Yes.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I think the motion fails. All right. We only have a couple minutes left. There was something else I wanted. Senator Saxog, did you have a quick comment?
It'll be quick, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what I'd like to reiterate is that in terms of Article 1, we have quite an as we outline, we have quite a number of our projects in here. We're saying the same appropriation, the same language. There are other than that, we have three projects which are basically the same appropriation but different language. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on the High Prairies, the conservation easement, and then the Wildlife Foundation. Taking care of those grants. And we had compelling testimony under your gavel, Representative Murphy. And so I realize we haven't moved anything, but I do think that that body of work in Article 1 is pretty clear, and I think we'll be able to discuss it from now on pretty easily.
Okay, I tell you what, Representative Murphy, I know that the House is not willing to go past midnight. I'd like to just kind of have a few minutes to just kind of change directions totally, because I had talked to one person here a little bit earlier and has been waiting patiently. Is that okay if we just spend a few minutes on some?
I'm discussing? On another issue?
Another issue, a little bit of testimony. Would that
sure.
be okay? This will change direction quite a bit because we've had no discussion. I talked to Senator Tomasoni about this earlier this evening. We've had no discussion of Article 4. And the House and the Senate have some similar stuff relative to arts education, but I think handled in a different way. So I'd like, and let me just indicate for House members, the Senate's got an arts education, and this isn't meant to talk about dollars, but I want to try to get some sense of how this would work and make sure the House understands it. Senate has a couple of things. One I'd hope to talk about tonight, but I don't think it's possible. One, Senator Scogin's not here, though Senator Rumble's had a little bit of involvement with this, and that's a proposal in the Senate bill relative to the Purpose School, but I don't think those folks are here. But the House has some arts education language, as does the Senate. And I thought I saw Ms. Jens from the art. Yeah. So I wonder if I could ask first, Ms. Jens, if you might talk about arts education in the context of the State Arts Board. I know you talked about this in Senator Tomasoni's division as to what your thinking and how this would be handled and so on. And I know there was, and in particular, I know that similar to some of the House language, talk about artists in the schools, access of schools to arts organizations around the state, touring of arts organizations around the state, those kinds of educational access activities.
Thank you, Senator Cohen and members of the committee. I am Sue Jens. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota State Arts Board, and I appreciate being asked to come in and share some thoughts with you tonight about arts education, a little different tack than some of the things you've been talking about this evening. I'll be brief. I know the hour is late and you have much to do. The Arts Board is very much involved with arts education now. Creativity, discovery, teaching, and learning in the arts are central to what we do. And it continues to be a core function of our activities and of the regional arts councils for whom we serve as a fiscal agent. We set aside some of our funding currently specifically for programs that are based in schools. And we also require our arts organizations who are funded to provide arts programming in schools, arts programming in communities, learning opportunities. So we're doing some of that now. We're doing it on as broad a scale as we are able to with current resources. And so we have thought about the legacy money as a way to clearly to expand that opportunity and to do much more. And we know that Minnesotans want us to do much more. You've been talking a lot tonight about planning. We have, since last summer, been engaged in a planning process, a needs assessment process, trying to understand what it is that Minnesotans want to accomplish with the legacy dollars in arts, arts access, and arts education. That plan is not complete. But we're making great progress with that, and we expect to be able to complete that by this summer. And so what we're talking about, what we're thinking about, is really grounded in what we believe are the needs of Minnesotans. And what we're hearing about is the need to supplement what's already available through arts organizations. And there is such demand for the kind of programs that our existing arts organizations are presenting that we know we need to do more there. We also need to know that we need to do more to provide transportation, to move artists and arts organizations out of their own facilities and into communities and into places where people already are gathering to learn and to experience the arts. A core centerpiece of what we would like to do with new funding is lifelong learning in the arts. We know that much of what's being done now is based in the K-12 system. That's vital. It's important. But it isn't the only place where people come together to learn. And so in our proposal for the legacy funds, we did talk about using some of the funding for programs in libraries and community centers. We already have grant programs that provide series of activities in other places. We could replicate programs like that that would direct artists and arts organizations into places where people already come together to learn. We're interested not only in young people, but in adults who want to learn. We're also interested in seniors who want to learn and would like to make those programs available. And I know it's late, so I would be happy to respond to questions or give you more detail about what we might be thinking.
Let me ask a couple of particular questions.
Sure.
How is the work that you're doing with the Arts Board integrated with the regional arts councils in some of these regards?
It's very closely integrated, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. We do work hand-in-hand with the regional arts councils. They are charged with developing programs that are specifically tailored to their own regions, but we have common themes that go across the state and across the regions. And this planning process that I talked about a little bit earlier is a process that we are doing with the regional arts councils. Our goal is to come out with a statewide system and a statewide plan that would meet all the needs across the state.
So just if I can ask in terms of the implementation, if we take one of the northern regions, would the Arts Board in St. Paul then facilitate one of the RACs working with artists in the schools within that area? How does that work together?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, at the moment, the Regional Arts Council in that part of the region, in that part of the state, would work directly with the schools in their region. We do imagine that there may be some programs that would be statewide, where it may be better that they are administered from our office here in St. Paul. But that's a decision that we would want to be making with the Regional Arts Councils, consulting about what will be the best use of our resources and who is best equipped to provide the services.
Okay. And a slightly different question. I know that I think it was in 1997 when we secured through Governor Carlson's budget, there was, a $12 million increase or something in the State Arts Board?
Mr. Chair, I believe so. That predates me, but I believe so.
Yeah, that was the last increase in the Arts Board budget, if I'm not mistaken. There was established, I know I worked on it, the Arts Across Minnesota program, which was a touring program. And I know that's pretty expensive, but how would you here's what I recall for the several years it was operating. You tell me from your perspective if I'm correct and how you would try to re-implement that. Where you'd take an arts organization, large or small, they'd show up in an area of the state, kind of centered in a community, and then put on some performances, public performances, do some master classes in the schools, working with students and the teachers within the school, and also work with, depending on what the type of organization was, with the community theaters or the community orchestras. And, you know, that's what I would call the Arts Across Minnesota being. Is there any way to re-implement that, and if so, how would you do that?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you have an excellent memory, Mr. Chair. That's basically how the Arts Across Minnesota program had worked in the past. When the state budget was 2003, had to be reduced greatly, that program went away for a period of time. We have reintroduced it in a very small way, trying to test it and to try to implement it, to revise it. But as you mentioned, there are those three core components. There is a public performance. There is a series of educational programs that have to be directed to young people, the K-12 general age group, whether that happens in a school or whether it happens through the local 4-H club or the Boys and Girls Club. There have to be educational opportunities for young people, and there have to be educational opportunities for adults. As you mentioned, perhaps it's a choir, and there's the local choir that sings in a master class with the professionals. So those three components are still there. That's a very solid model that we would want to expand and make available more broadly throughout the state.
Okay. Then lastly, I think in Senator Tomasoni's committee, there was discussion, division, there was discussion that to implement this, if there were to be legacy funds appropriated for the Arts Board, you'd be looking for another 2.5 people, 3 people, to implement all that? Is that the FTEs that you talked about?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as I mentioned, in 2003 when there were budget cuts, the Arts Board's administrative line was cut quite severely. We lost 60% of our budget that year. We have not recovered that, and we have been severely stretched. Our staff resources have been severely stretched. So as we look to new legacy money, our goal would be to add approximately 3 or 4 people, depending, obviously, on the size of the funds that might be entrusted to us.
Okay. All right. Well, I know, members, it's late, so I wanted to at least have Ms. Jens have a few minutes. I don't know if people have questions. Senator Schroeder.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Ms. Jens. What has been your plan or thinking in your mind or discussions about teaching through art about the, you have to admit, is the primary focus of this amendment, the outdoors, the environment?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Senator Chaudhry. We know of good examples that are happening now where teachers or artists are paired with teachers who may be teaching in the biological or natural sciences. And one example that I would give is it's actually something that's happening in one of the schools in Minneapolis, and please don't ask me which school because at this moment I would not be able to recall the name. But it's a visual artist who is working with a science class. And the students go out and they do their field observations of plants, of birds, of insects, and they draw. And so they're doing all of the documentation of what they see through drawing. And what we hear back is that their attention to detail and their ability to recall the different features of what they have seen is much better than somebody who maybe went out and took a picture of that. And so we do see some places where that has started. Now, clearly, we would have to do much more thinking about that and much more planning for something like that. But I do think that there are some good examples that we could draw on.
Mr. Chair. And Ms. Jens, I'd encourage you to make that a large focus of your effort.
Mr. Chair.
I think that would be a lot of synergy that could be drawn with the purpose of the amendment. And you have to recognize that the arts component of this amendment was an important piece of getting the overall amendment certainly onto the ballot as well as passed. But I think you also have to recognize that that didn't occur without some consternation from the original proposers of the amendment. And so it might be a nice way to build that bridge because it took all of us to get the amendment passed.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Jens, thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, thank you for this opportunity. I plan to call us back at 9:45 in the morning.
Okay. Maybe we can do this another day then because it's late. I know in the House you did some of the same work through the Department of Education, so I don't know. It's pretty late, so I don't know if there's anybody here from the department who can just offer a minute of testimony about some of the arts education stuff in the Department of Education. I know it's late. So is there anybody here? Well, it makes it easy then. Nobody's here. Okay. Sorry, Representative. All right. Thank you, Ms. Jens.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Mr. Chair, I plan to call the meeting to order tomorrow morning at 9:45, if that's a possibility. Mr. Chair, I hope that the agenda tomorrow, I am planning on including in the agenda tomorrow for to talk about the language and the waters and definitions, protect, restore, and enhance, which was requested by the Commissioner of Natural Resources in a letter saying that we needed definitions, and that's how these definitions arrived in our proposal. We would like to talk about art framework, and that's as far as I'm at now. At this time, there may be more things added to the agenda.
Senator Frederickson.
Chairman, Representative Murphy, for our planning tomorrow, are you planning for us to break for lunch for a period of around about 12 o'clock, or should we pack a lunch?
Mr. Chair, Senator Frederickson, I think we both go in the House tomorrow, or go into session at noon tomorrow.
Two.
We go in at 12, so it'll fit just fine for you to go out to lunch.
Thank you.
Well, so, yes. Senator Chaudhry?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and if Representative Murphy would indulge, do we plan on voting on any components of the bill tomorrow?
Mr. Chair, Senator Chaudhry, that's a good idea, and I suggest that you come with a proposal for us with something from all the funds and significant language that you would consider in an offer.
In other words, come with a plan, I think is what...
plans are good. And the University of Minnesota.
Anything further, Representative Murphy? Relative to tomorrow?
Not that I have so far.
Okay. All right. Meeting will be adjourned.
All right. Is it appropriate?